Well, coming off a great Easter celebration, my wife Chelsea and I, we had a busy week, and we decided that we were going to take a little bit of time to travel. And so we did. We just jumped around the world this week. We got pictures of it. We stopped in London first and took some pictures by the big clock, and then we went to Paris and took pictures by that big thing. And then we made it to China, and we found ourselves on the Great Wall as well. And we wore the same clothes everywhere we went. And if you're looking at this thinking something doesn't add up, you're right. We didn't do any of these things. That's all made in AI. Reality for us this past week was baseball practices and baseball tournaments. We didn't go to any of those places. But that right there, right, all those pictures, I'm just telling you, that's the world that we live in now. Right, that is the world that we live in now. Every week I have people sending me pictures and videos of different things saying, look at what this person did, or look at what this person said, or I can't believe this, and more I'm having to say, hey, that's not real. Somebody made that with AI, and you weren't able to tell. And listen, more and more people are having a tough time determining what's real and what's fake. Well, here's the good news for believers. In a confusing world, we're going to see in Scripture today that Jesus brings clarity. Jesus brings understanding to what's going on around us. If you've got your Bible, join me in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, and this week and the next few weeks, we're going to be answering the question, so what? Why does the resurrection matter? On Easter, we learned that the resurrection gives us hope. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and hope for eternity. And this morning, as we dive into Luke 24, we're going to see that the resurrection brings to us clarity. The resurrection brings understanding for us. If you're taking notes, that's our title. The resurrection brings clarity. Look with me now, starting in verse 13 of Luke 24. The Bible says, that very day, pause there, that very day is Easter Sunday, right? It's the day that Jesus rose. So all of the events that we're going to read this morning, they all happened the same morning that Jesus rose from the grave. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, the two that were going to Emmaus, more than likely, were in Jerusalem for the week of the Passover, right? That entire celebration. They've been there several days. Now they're returning home. Verse 14 says, they were talking with each other about all these things that happened. Pause there. All these things that happened. Remember what had happened during Holy Week. We talked about it in here. From Palm Sunday forward, Jesus rides in on the donkey. There's the palm branches. There's the coats on the ground. He gets into the city. He flips over the tables in the temple. He goes toe-to-toe with the religious leaders. He's betrayed. He's tried. He's crucified. And now there's people saying, hey, listen, the tomb's empty. We think that Jesus might be alive, right? This is a massive week in the history of the world. It's a massive week in Jerusalem, and that's what they're talking about. Verse 15. While they were talking and discussing this together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you're having with one another as you walk? And it says they stood still. So they stopped. It says they stopped and they looked sad. And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him and said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem that does not know the things that have happened in these last days? What a question that is. Right? Think about that. We don't know much about Cleopas, but he's forever going to be remembered as the man that asked Jesus if he knew about the crucifixion. Right? He's asking Jesus if he heard that Jesus was crucified. He doesn't realize it yet. But I can imagine if I'm him, I am replaying that conversation in my head in the days and weeks that are going to follow this. But for now, Jesus just plays along. Look what he says, verse 19. Jesus said to him, what things? And they said, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and all the people. And now our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was going to be the one that was going to redeem Israel. Stop there. These guys, they believe. There's an element of faith to them, right? Maybe they were in the crowd on Palm Sunday. Maybe they were waving palm branches and shouting, Hosanna. That they hoped that Jesus was the Savior that God promised, meaning they knew enough about the Bible to know that God had promised a Savior. They knew enough to be looking for a Savior. You see where their minds are at? Right? They're engaged. They're looking. They're thinking. They see what Jesus has done. They see how Jesus has taught, and they think, okay, I think this is it. Verse 21 says, we hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it's been 3 days since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, and they said that they'd seen a vision of angels that said Jesus was alive. Some of those who were with us, they went to the tomb, and they found it, just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. So Jesus stumbles upon these guys and says, what's happened? And this is their answer. They said, Jesus, mighty in word and deed, he was delivered up to be crucified, and now people are saying that he's alive once again. Think about what these guys are articulating out loud back to Jesus. They have all the pieces of the gospel right there. They just haven't pieced it together yet. These men knew the facts of the gospel, but they didn't yet recognize the face of the gospel. Remember what they've said. It's clear that they knew the word. They're looking for a Savior. They thought the Savior was Jesus, and then he was crucified. And because of the crucifixion, they're confused, they're disappointed, they're grieving now as they walk home, and they're discussing these things, and they're discussing it with no answers, right? They don't know how to make sense of it. They're confused, and in their confusion, Jesus is going to step in and bring them to a place of clarity. Verse 25, Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ would suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, I think this is one of the most incredible moments of the New Testament right here. I love what's going on. Jesus says, hey, you guys, you don't get it. Wasn't it necessary that the Christ would suffer before glory? And it might have been a rhetorical question, but the answer is absolutely yes, because that's what God promised would happen. We looked in here several times leading up to Easter at Isaiah chapter 53. We knew that the cross was part of God's plan for the Savior. And then Jesus just showed them the plan. Look at verse 27. It says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he said, this is what the scripture teaches about the Messiah. So these two guys, they're walking down the road in a state of confusion and in a state of grief, and now they're getting the most amazing Bible study that I think anyone on this earth has ever had. Jesus walks them through step by step, beginning with page one, and shows them how all of Scripture points to him. Can you imagine the light bulbs that have to be going off in their head as Jesus teaches them the Scripture? I've sat under some brilliant professors teaching me the Word of God, but I cannot even begin to imagine how encouraging, how enlightening, how clarifying it would be to have Jesus walk through an explanation of the Old Testament saying, and this is how that points to me, and this is how that points to me, and this is how I fulfilled this prophecy, over and over and over. And that's what Jesus does for these guys on the road. Look at verse 28. It says, they drew near to the village where they were going, and Jesus acted like he was going further, but they urged him strongly and said, stay with us. It's towards the evening, and the day is now far spent. And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. That was his pattern. Verse 31, their eyes were opened. They didn't open their eyes, but their eyes were opened. And they recognized Jesus. And then he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked on the road and while he opened the scriptures? And they rose at the same hour and they returned to Jerusalem and they found the 11 disciples and those who were gathered with them. And they said, the Lord is risen indeed. He appeared to Simon and they said what happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. All of this happened on Easter. that very first Easter Sunday. What a day. All right, for these guys, we got two tired, sad, disappointed, and confused men. They encountered the risen Jesus, and they were changed. Jesus that day took them from a place of confusion to a place of clarity, and he can do the exact same thing for us. There's a lot of different ways that we could flesh this out, but for this morning, based on what we see in Luke 24, I just want to share with you and hopefully encourage you three ways that the Lord can bring clarity in our lives. And the first is this: Jesus brings clarity to our circumstances. I want you to remember the circumstances of these men. These guys were sad and disappointed. That's just where they were. Look at verse 17. It says they stopped and they looked sad. And what does Jesus do when he encounters their sadness? He meets them where they're at. He begins to walk with them where they're at. He listens to these guys, and these guys are honest with Jesus about their grief. They're honest with Jesus about their disappointment. Look at this, verse 21. They had hoped that he was the one. But because of the crucifixion, they're leaving the city, not thinking he's the one. They're leaving the city. They've got to regroup emotionally. They've got to regroup mentally. They've got to reorient their mind. They've got to find their hope somewhere else. Their hope was in Jesus, and now it's not. You could describe their current circumstances as grieving, disappointed, confused. Their lives did not go as expected. Palm Sunday, they had their minds thinking a certain way. Okay, the week's going to go like this. He's riding the donkey in to the city. We're shouting, Hosanna, he's the king, save us now. Jesus is going to deliver us. And then it didn't play out the way that they thought it would. And what does Jesus do? Verse 26. He says, hey, this was necessary. Right? He points them back to Scripture. He steps in and explains what's going on. He helped them navigate the present circumstances of their life through the lens of the resurrection. I want you to think about that. He helped them navigate the circumstances of their life through the lens of the resurrection. He says, Scripture said this would happen. Christ was going to suffer. Christ was going to step into glory. That's often the pattern we see in the Bible, suffering followed by glory. And he explains it in a way where they can begin to understand. This is an important note for us. Their circumstances are not dismissed, and they're not belittled. Right? Their circumstances are reframed by the reality of the resurrection. And these two men, they're not the only ones that have had to navigate grief and disappointment. And I'm not just talking about people that we read about in the Bible. Every one of us in here has been right where these guys on the road to Emmaus are at. Well, we've all experienced grief. We've all experienced disappointment. We've all hoped that life would go a certain way only to have it not work out the way that we maybe had hoped and prayed. Maybe you're in here and you've hoped and prayed that your marriage would be healed, that there'd be reconciliation, and it just didn't go that way. Maybe you've hoped and prayed that your adult kid would return to the faith, or maybe be reconciled with your family, and it just hasn't happened yet. Maybe you've sat in a doctor's office, and you've hoped and prayed for that great news, and the news that come what was not good. Maybe you had plans for your business, you had plans for your career, you had plans for your life or for your family, and it just hasn't come about the way that you'd hoped. And because of one of these or any number of other things in your life, you found yourself disappointed in those present circumstances. And here's what I want you to hear this morning. Our present circumstances, any present disappointment that we might feel in our lives, that does not have the final word. Because Jesus rose, well, we need to look at every aspect of our life through the reality of the fact that Jesus is alive. He can bring clarity to our disappointment, letting us know that as we walk through trials, we don't walk alone. Listen, he's with you at the doctor's office. And because of the resurrection, we know that whether we are healed here or not, our future reality is in heaven, right? Sickness doesn't have the final word over us. Jesus has the final word over us. If your relationships haven't been reconciled the way you hoped and prayed they would be, you need to remember that God can and will use every season in your life to strengthen your faith and to grow you closer and deeper in a love relationship with him. You can navigate that heartbreak through the light of Jesus. When we walk through disappointment in the here and now. Because Jesus is alive, we are looking forward to the eternity we have with him. And seasons where life did not work out like we hoped, we can be reminded. We just sang it, that even when we don't see it, God is working. Think about those men on the road, right? Jesus is there walking with them before they even knew it. He's there walking with them, ministering to them before they even know what is happening. And because Jesus rose, not only was he with them, but he's promised to be with you as well. When the circumstances of your life leave you confused, and they will. When the circumstances of your life leave you disappointed, and they will, let your heart and mind remember, Jesus is alive and Jesus is at work. These men were sad and disappointed, right? Because they were part of the Palm Sunday crowd that had big expectations, but they weren't thinking big enough still about Jesus. They were expecting freedom from Rome. Jesus was offering something much greater, right? Freedom from sin and death. And Jesus brings clarity to their circumstances by correcting their expectations to be in line with the promises of God. That's our second point this morning. Jesus brings clarity to the promises of God. Now, one of the coolest verses that you're going to read in the Bible, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says this, all of the promises of God, all of the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. Right, that's a massive statement. Everything that God has promised us finds the yes in Jesus. And Jesus wants to make sure we understand it. So look what he does in verse 27. These guys are confused about what was going to happen, right? That they knew enough of God's promises to be anticipating. They're looking for the Savior that would come. They just didn't put it all together. And so Jesus does it for them. Verse 27, beginning with Moses, right? That's Genesis, the very beginning. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets. He interpreted in the scripture everything concerning himself. So he starts at the beginning and he says, guys, this is about me. All of this is about me. And here's what that means for us. When we read our Bible, we need to read it in light of the resurrection. From the very beginning, we need to know and understand that Jesus lived a perfect life. He died a sinless death and he rose again. Right? This is one unified message pointing us to the hope in the gospel. And that's how Jesus is teaching them. Right, here's two things that we can learn from the way Jesus taught them the scripture. First is this, Jesus is teaching that the whole Bible is about him. Right? He teaches that the whole Bible is, which means it's not about us. It's not about you and it's not about me. He starts at the beginning and he says, this is about me. Second, Jesus teaches that the Bible, not our experiences, should form our faith. I'm going to say that again and I want you to think about what I'm saying. Jesus is teaching these two guys that the Bible, the promises of God, not their experiences, should form their faith. Here's what I mean. This is what these guys did. They're on the road. They experience grief and disappointment. And the circumstances behind that grief and that disappointment, it shaped, reshaped what they believed. Read what they said. They were hoping that Jesus was the one, right? That their hope was in Jesus. Didn't work out like they thought. He was crucified. And then they said, well, I guess maybe not. Their beliefs changed. Why? Because life didn't play out the way they hoped and planned. Their beliefs changed because they encountered a difficult situation. And there's believers today who have done the same thing. That they've let the painful experiences of this life, and we're all going to face them. They let the painful experiences of this life rewrite what they believe about God. They've allowed a tragic loss in their life, or maybe a diagnosis in their life, or maybe a fractured relationship in their life, maybe just a hurt or pain in their life to pull their mind and heart away from the truth of Scripture. I am sure that you have had a conversation at some point with someone who has walked through one of these deep, painful seasons, and they've begun to say things like, how could a good God allow this to happen to me? Or I don't believe that God loves me anymore because of that challenging season. Jesus steps into a situation just like that and says, hey, listen, Well, we need to go back to looking at what God has promised, what God has said, and it's right here in our Bibles. Jesus takes them back to the promises of God. So I want to encourage you this morning. When you walk through those seasons, and you will, make sure that you continue to build your life on the promises of God, on the Word of God. That's where Jesus takes these guys. So they're in a state of confusion and grief. He takes them back to the promises of God. And look what they said about that moment with him on the road later at the dinner table after they realized who it was. This is what they said, recalling that moment on the road. Verse 32 said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" That grief and confusion. And now all of a sudden their hearts are burning, or that their hearts are alive once again. When? While he opened us the scriptures. Right? Jesus brings clarity to their lives through the Word of God, and now their hearts are burning. Right? That there's this flame that's lit in their heart again that was lost, and it was lit again through the Word of God. J.I. Packer says it like this: before their hearts burned with love, their minds were brightened with the truth. Knowing the promises of God, for me and you today, just like for them, knowing the promises of God, the Word of God, it matters. From grief to joy, through their understanding of the Word of God, read your Bibles through the lens of Jesus. Ask him to give you clarity. Ask him to give you understanding in a way that shapes your heart and your mind and your life to know and love him more. And that kind of clarity, it's not going to happen through a drive-by glance at your Bible. Right, you're going to have to get into it and really soak it up and study it and learn it as you ask Jesus to bring clarity through his Word. I want to give you a phrase. And if you put this phrase into practice when reading your Bible, it's going to change how you look at the Word of God. And it's an illustration, so write it down, and I'll explain it as we go. But as you go to your Bible, hike through it, don't drive through it. Right? Hike through your Bible, don't drive by your Bible. And here's what I mean. A little over a year ago, our family was in Colorado. There was a waterfall not too far from where we were. It had a trail up to it off the highway. And there's two ways that you could check this waterfall out. You could drive by and get a glimpse at 40 miles an hour from the road, or you could park and you could hike up to it. Now, that first approach, it would give you a quick glimpse at 40 miles an hour, and then traffic would move you on before you had a chance to soak it up. You'd see the big picture, you'd know it was there, and that's really about it. The other approach, though, was going to take you through every little bit of it. You'd experience the smooth parts of the trail, the rocky parts of the trail, the muddy parts of the trail, the steep parts of the trail. Hiking meant that you were going to soak it up and go slow enough to see what was really there. Hiking was going to put you at the base of the waterfall. You'd see its power, you'd see its beauty, you'd feel the mist as it kicked up off of the rocks. You'd hear the overwhelming sound of thousands of gallons hitting the ground at once. Hiking, moving slowly through it, is what would allow you to truly see it for what it was. Listen, read your Bible like that. Jesus took these guys on a journey through Scripture. He didn't skip over parts. He didn't drive by parts. He wanted to make sure these guys understood. And what happened to them is going to happen to us if we take that approach to the Bible. Our hearts will burn within us, just like theirs, as Jesus helps us understand what we're reading. For them, in times of grief and disappointment, Jesus brought clarity, and he did it through the Bible, helping them understand the promises of God. And God has given us so many promises, promises for you and for me, and every single one of them, the promise to make us his children, the promise of heaven and eternal life, the promise for peace, the promise for rest, the promise that he'll always be with us and never leave us or forsake us, the promise that he will give us good gifts as our heavenly Father. All of those promises, they find their yes in Jesus. He's the one that makes all those promises clear to us. And he does so here in Scripture and today by helping these two men see who he really is. And that's our third point this morning. Jesus brings clarity to God's promise of a Savior. Look at verse 31, that their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And they said, "The Lord is risen indeed." But when they first started talking to Jesus, these guys knew the basics. They knew that God had promised a Savior, that they were looking, they were hoping that the Savior would be Jesus. Crucifixion happened, and they thought, well, maybe we're wrong. But then they encountered Jesus, and he shows them how all of the Bible points to them, to him. He sat with them for dinner. He opened their eyes to the truth. He brought clarity to who he is, the Savior that God promised. promise. What a moment like that. Think about the time at the table, right? He breaks the bread, he blesses it, and they instantly recognize him, and they say, "You're Jesus, right? You're alive. Everything that you've said is true. All of the promises of God are true. It's here. We see it in you." They recognize Jesus, and they could not contain themselves, right? That's the road to Emmaus moment, right? These guys move from disappointment to hope because the one they've waited for is finally here, and it happened at the table. Happened at the table. When Jesus broke the bread, what with the same hands that broke the bread at the Last Supper just days before, they realized who he was. Don't you just love how Jesus works? He ensured they knew all they needed to know about the promises of God, how it all pointed to him. And then through a meal, relationally, Jesus said, "Here I am." Don't miss what happened to these guys. They did not come to this conclusion on their own. It says their eyes were opened. This wasn't their own wisdom or insight, not at all. This was a work of God in their hearts that allowed them to see with clarity who Jesus was and what Jesus has done. It's a miracle as God worked in their lives. And I want to remind you this morning that if you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, that same miracle has happened in you, where he's revealed to you who he is and how you can have a relationship with God through him. For some of you, it was a long time ago, right? Maybe you were a kid and God revealed to you. You understood clearly who Jesus is and what he's done. For others of you, it was more recent. Maybe for some of you, it was last Sunday on Easter. You realize clearly for the first time who Jesus is, what he's done, and how you can have a relationship with God because of him. Or maybe you're here this morning, and it's right here, right now. For the first time, you're seeing who Jesus is clearly. If that's the case, I'm telling you that God is working a miracle in your heart and your life right now. I'd encourage you, don't leave here today, right? But before trusting in Jesus as your Savior. Here's what I know. Well, when you understand clearly that Jesus is the Savior you need, you're not going to just sit there and do nothing about it. Look at what these guys did. That they understood and their lives changed. They had just walked 7 miles away from Jerusalem. The day is over, that they were disappointed, they're sad. And the minute that they understood, hey, wait a minute, Jesus really is the one and he really is alive, what did they do? They jumped up and they ran back to Jerusalem 7 miles in the dark to make sure everyone knew who Jesus really was. Right? That's not a casual decision. That's just a response to the miracle of Jesus. People had to know who Jesus was, that he's the Son of God who died and rose to bring us into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Without the resurrection, that these two men, they stay disappointed, they stay sad, they stay confused. But because Jesus rose, because Jesus is alive, they now have clarity. And you and I can have that same clarity. That they saw their circumstances clearly, they saw the promises of God clearly, and they clearly saw that Jesus is the Savior promised by God. The resurrection brings clarity for them and for you and for me. Would you pray with me this morning? I just want to encourage you to bow your heads where you're at, and I want you to, before we do anything else, thank Jesus for the resurrection, right? Thank God that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, who died and who rose. Thank him for the resurrection. And we're all in a different spot in our walk with the Lord this morning. So I just want to encourage you, as you thank him for the resurrection, I want you to pray through whatever God's speaking to you this morning. Maybe you're here and you're like those men on the road to Emmaus. You're tired and you're sad. You're disappointed. Maybe you've been a little frustrated. If those are your current circumstances, I want to encourage you. Do what Jesus did for these men here. Reframe those circumstances through the light of the resurrection. Begin to look at those situations in your life through the reality that Jesus is alive and that he is at work in your life. Maybe you're in a spot where you've allowed the circumstances of your life to sway your heart off of the truth, or to sway your mind and your affections away from our Lord. If that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to go back to the Word, like Jesus took these men back to the Word, and build your heart and life on the promises of God. Get in the Word, dig into the Word, hike through the Word, and let Him light that fire in your heart again as you focus on His promises. Do not let your heart drift. Anchor it to the Word of the Lord. And then finally, if you're in here this morning and you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, but you clearly see who Jesus is today, I want to encourage you before we leave in just a minute to come talk to one of our pastors and say that you're ready to trust Christ as your Savior. And you're going to have that chance in just a minute. We're going to sing one last song, and as we do, we're going to have some pastors and prayer partners down here at the front, and we're here to pray with you, to pray for you, to pray over you. And so today, if you're one that's walking through that disappointing circumstance and you're facing a challenging season, then we'd love to pray over you. We'd be honored to pray over you. Maybe you're here today, your heart's drifted, and you want prayer over that. Maybe you're here today, and you know that you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You see it clearly. Whatever God's doing in your life, we'd be honored to pray with you. When we stand in just a moment, that's your invitation to come, and let us pray with you. Father, we love you, we trust you, we thank you for the clarity we have in your Word. We thank you for the clarity that you, through Jesus, bring to our lives. And God, I pray that we would walk in that each and every day. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.